We just want you to know how incredibly excited we are that you're here as we dive into part four of this series we have been in called Stay Positive. And whether you've been here throughout this series or you are here for the very first time, we want you to know that we believe with all of our hearts that you are here on the perfect weekend. Because whether you've been here throughout the entirety of this series or you are just catching this one part, this entire series speaks to what you and I are walking through right here, right now in our lives. It speaks into the situation of our world and speaks directly into the situation of every single one of our lives. And here's how I know that. Because right now, what you would say beyond a shadow of a doubt is as you look out into the world, and maybe for some of us, as you look into your own circumstances of your life, what you find is that negative is all around. Am I right? That we don't have to look too far or go searching for the negative in our world or even in our circumstances. And as we encounter the negative in our world, it is so easy, isn't it, for us to get sucked in. It is so easy for us to begin to act like everybody else and to only see the negative, to only see the things that have gone wrong and the rising gas prices and the inflation and the wars, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in our world. And that doesn't even scratch the surface of the things we see that are negative in our own life. And it feels like it's only natural. It's only natural for us to get sucked in and to begin to engage in the negative like everybody else, to begin to speak negatively on our social media posts, to begin to engage in every single news channel, and to begin to feel the weight and the pressure of the fear and the anxiousness and the doubt and the insecurities that come along with that negative outlook. And yet what we miss is this. Is that as we find ourselves getting sucked in time and time again to the negative of our world and the negative of our lives, as we find ourselves consistently living in the midst of a negative outlook, we forget that a negative outlook never leads to a positive life. That if you and I want something better for our future, we won't find it riding on the back of a negative outlook. And frankly, if you're sitting in this room and you find yourself as a Christ follower, you see, we find ourselves so easily joining in with the rest of the world and looking at the negative around us. And yet what our world needs is for us to be different. Is that if we want our families, our marriages, our lives, our workplaces to experience something different, then we have to be the people willing to do something different. And furthermore, if you want to experience something different in your future, you have to start doing what nobody else is doing. And you see, maybe one of the biggest issues with a negative outlook is this. Is that in our lives, when we find ourselves engaging consistently with a negative outlook, we soon find our lives being consumed by me. Am I right? That when you look close enough and you get honest enough, the more you engage with the negative, the more your life becomes all about you. And that may be the biggest reason in which we can't experience the best life possible living with a negative outlook, is because we can't live a purpose-filled life if my life is all about me. Hello. Y'all okay? We're getting there quick this morning. I know it's getting heavy already. You see, our lives have to be about something more. Our lives have to be about something different. That we, in our lives, as we encounter and live in the midst of a negative outlook, we often miss this as our lives become all about me. Is that every person you encounter every single day is going through some kind of battle. Do you realize that? That the people you encounter in your workplace, the people you encounter in your neighborhood, the people you encounter in this place, the people that walk back into your house every single day from being in middle school or high school or frankly even elementary school, every person you encounter every single day is going through some sort of a battle. And you may not see it externally, but undoubtedly it's happening internally in them. And that battle that they're walking through and the circumstances that they're muddying their way through in their life are things that frankly you have no idea about, and yet they're there. And they're just waiting for us to speak into them. They're just waiting for us to set an example of something different, to allow them to pass through those battles with perseverance and to begin to experience something in the hardest moments of their life. And I get it, y'all. Oftentimes, as we become entrenched in a negative world, and even in our own negative circumstances, it becomes ridiculously difficult, doesn't it, for us to acknowledge this truth? Yes, they have gone through a pandemic too over the last 2 years. Yes, they may be experiencing marriage problems as well. Yes, their kids aren't perfect either, and they've had the principal call their house this week, or their kids had to stay over in detention. They're facing financial hardship and financial uncertainty in their life. Someone they love is sick, or someone they love has received a diagnosis, or maybe they've received a diagnosis that they haven't even gone public with yet that changes everything. That the people we encounter every single day are fighting a fight that so often we choose to ignore because we're so consumed with ourselves and our own negative. Just last weekend, we had something really big that happened around here. We celebrated it last Sunday. Our annual women's event, the IF Gathering, happened last Saturday morning. And we had over 100 women in this room pouring into themselves, pouring into others, engaging in worship, being spoken into, doing life together with other women. And it was an absolutely incredible day. It's something that we believe with all of our heart changed lives, and not just that, to the individual lives within this room, but has the potential to spread into families, has the potential to spread into our city. What if 100 women could just get on fire for God in our city? What difference would be made? What change would we see across this city, across our workplaces? But in the lead up to that, what some of y'all know is that my wife takes a very active role in leading worship around here. She's the pretty one right over here that's always jumping around with exuberance and passion. And you look at my wife on a Sunday morning, and what you oftentimes may assume is this, is that my wife has an incredible amount of confidence, is that it just comes naturally to my wife, and it's just easy for her to get up and do that. And while if you're looking in comparison to me to her doing worship, yes, it does come easy to her. But what you may miss is this, is that beneath the surface, especially in weeks like the week leading up to IF, that much like I shared last week, every time I walk up on this stage and the inadequacies and the insecurities and the doubt that I feel, we walked through a week there where my wife battled that in a big, big way. Where probably the things she shared with me didn't even scratch the surface of the things she was dealing with internally and the words that the enemy was speaking over top of her. That all of her inadequacies and all of her insecurities and all of this doubt of, I don't know if I can lead these people, and I don't know how to do this, and I don't know that this is going to turn out right, and I don't know that people's lives are actually going to be changed, and this thing might just all fall apart, and I don't know if I have the skills to be leading this thing called worship at a full-time level or with my life and with my passion. And we get to the day of IF, and about 2/3 of the way through the day, a lady approaches my wife. As my wife shared this story with me, she's like, I have no idea. This lady was a complete stranger to me. And if it was you, we apologize. There are a lot of people going on around here. But she approached my wife, and she struck up this conversation with her. And she said, so, Krista, I hear that you're a school teacher. And Krista began to share with her, yeah, I teach second grade over at Ontario. I absolutely love it. And this lady, in the midst of this conversation, looked back at my wife, and she said this, honey, I think you missed your calling. And much like me, my wife isn't very good at taking compliments, and so she just kind of laughed it off. I was like, yeah, no, I really enjoy what I do. And this lady, dead serious, looked back at her and said, no, I'm serious. I don't think you have any idea the impact that you're making and what you bring to the table. And the difference that you've made here today, but I believe the difference that has expanded far beyond today, not just in this setting, not just in these lives, not just in the spread of this event, but what you're doing in and through this place, through the way in which you worship. And you see, that one sentence, that small conversation, began to change, began to speak something different into my wife's inadequacies and insecurities and the doubt that she felt. That it began to change course and what she was listening to from the enemy, what she believed about herself, and what she saw God could and would do in and through her as she continued to follow this calling in her life. And some of the fear and the doubt that she possesses every single time she walks up here, that she was capable of pushing through that because of what had been spoken into her. You see, oftentimes what we miss is this, is that for every single one of us, you have no idea what God might do through one single word of encouragement. You have no idea what God can do and how God can use one single word of encouragement. This lady, who is an absolute stranger to my wife, worked up the courage to be able to speak something into her and to her that was probably uncomfortable to do. And yet she overcame those nerves in order to speak encouragement into my wife and in order to birth something that was absolutely incredible that we don't even know the ramifications of yet and what that could bring to the kingdom. That God can use just one word of encouragement in our lives, in our relationships, for the sake of our world to do something incredible. But let's look at the flip side and just be honest for a second. You see, as we look at our world and the negative events that swirl around, that seem to be popping up on every news station, that seem to saturate our social media feeds, as we pass through those seasons of difficulty in which the wars of the world are raging and rising gas prices and people slapping people in the Oscars, I'm sorry, you thought this was the one place you could go where nobody would talk about that. That as we engage with inflation and political tension and all of our own difficult circumstances, what comes naturally in those moments with our words is for us to begin to speak criticism and hate into others and into our world. You see, that's what comes easy. That doesn't take a whole lot. And yet, hear me loud and clear on this, that as we find ourselves engaging in hateful words and criticism in our lives, and you're saying, yeah, but Ben, it's only my social media feed. I don't do that at home. I don't do that in real relationships, just behind a guarded screen. What we often miss is this, is that when we find ourselves engaging in things like that, even on social media, it doesn't take long before the lines become blurred in every important relationship of our lives. That when that becomes commonplace on a computer screen, it doesn't take long before that becomes commonplace in my marriage. Before that becomes commonplace in my relationships and what I speak into and what I say to my kids every single day. It doesn't take long before we're doing that stuff in every facet of our lives and in every relationship of our lives. But doing the opposite, that requires intentionality. Doing the opposite, that requires courage. And hear me on this. Doing the opposite is the very thing that has the potential to change the world. Because the world doesn't need any more haters or degraders. The world doesn't need any more critics. Trust me, they got enough of those. The world needs a few people, a person in you, in me, that's willing to operate differently. That's willing to do what isn't easy and what doesn't come naturally for the sake of our lives or for the sake of the lives around us. That when everything else is negative, the words that we speak into other people will be positive because we know that our words are powerful, that they carry weight and they have the potential to be used by God in ways we will never know. A couple thousand years ago, there was a guy by the name of Job. Some of you may know the story of Job, but for those of you who don't, Job's story goes something like this. Job is what we could best define as a guy who was rich. He had it all. He had the growing family. He was rich. He had his own business. It was a growing business. All of it was at his expense. And in one moment, he lost it all. Every single one of those things was taken from him. And in the aftermath of Job walking through this difficult season, and having everything taken from him, his friends show up at his doorstep. As his friends walk into his living room and sit down on his couch, they begin to have this conversation with Job. And you know what they begin to do in this conversation? They begin to point out everything in Job's past that he's done wrong. Job, you know the reason why you're having all of these consequences in your life? It's because of all the sin you've done. It's because of all the things you've done wrong. And then all of his friends, after walking him through, berating him and criticizing him, then they have the nerve, if you read the book of Job, then they have the nerve for chapters of giving Job advice. Job, if I were you, this is how you should have done it. If you want to have a better life from this day forward, this is how you should do it from here on out. And finally, there comes a point after they're rambling on and on with their criticism and their hateful words and their advice that isn't serving anyone well, Job finally gets an opportunity to talk. And we find it in Job chapter 16, starting in verse 2. Here is what he says. I have heard all this before. Now, this is imperative for us to stop here and acknowledge this first sentence because this is so important. Job, right off the get-go, after hearing all of this criticism, all of these hateful words, Job says, I have heard all this before. And the question you're asking is this, well, were there friends that came before these friends that were saying this to him? No, Job puts this sentence in here. You know why? Because he's already said it to himself. Job's already beat himself up. He's already run through all the scenarios of why this has gone wrong, what he's done wrong, how he sinned, how he should have changed things. He's dealing with all of these his own insecurities and inadequacies and failures within himself. He's already spoken all of this over him. And oftentimes, y'all, we don't understand and we don't grasp the fact that they've already been there. They don't need to be told that they've done something wrong. They already know it. We're our own worst critics. And Job's experiencing that in this moment. And then he continues, and it gets a little bit more powerful here. Job works up the courage. What miserable comforters you are. Won't you ever stop blowing hot air? What makes you keep on talking? I could say the same things if you were in my place. I could spout off criticism and shake my head at you. And then Job flips the script. But if it were me, I would encourage you. If it were me, I would try to take away your grief. You see, as I thought about this story and I read those last two sentences that Job spoke, this thought washed over me. When it's up to me, what do I choose? Every single day when I have the opportunities in the lives of other people who are walking through battles that I know nothing about, what do I choose? Do I choose, like his friends, to be miserable comforters? Do I choose to just brush right past it and go on with my own life? Or do I choose to be an encourager? Do I choose to attempt in some way, shape, or form to take away the grief they're suffering from in their lives that I may not see externally, but I trust that it's most likely happening internally in their lives? What do I choose? You see, the question is, do you want to live a better life and make a bigger difference? Your words matter in the pursuit of those things. Our words are powerful. And come on, y'all, deep down, we all know this to be true. Because in our lives, right, we've all experienced that one person who's walked into our lives, and they could be a complete stranger, and yet the words they speak into our lives absolutely destroy us. Like, they carry no weight in our lives, and yet somehow their words carry weight over our mental state, over what we believe about ourselves and what we're saying to ourselves about ourselves. Words are powerful, and they have the potential to either raise others up or push others down, to absolutely crush them. It's the reason why King Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever walk on this earth, says this: the tongue can bring life or death. Your tongue, my tongue, has the potential to bring either life or death into other people's lives, into other people's circumstances. And so what do you choose? You see, in this passage, when you read this passage in Proverbs chapter 18, in my Bible, there's this little cross in there. And it literally means that it's cross-referencing you to another passage in God's Word. And as you check on what this passage in Proverbs 18:21 is cross-referencing you to, it cross-references you to a moment in Jesus' life when he's on this earth in the book of Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 37, this is so good. This passage refers us to what Jesus says a couple of thousand years later. And when Jesus marches onto the pages of history, this is what he has to say in that very passage. One day, you will give an account for every word you speak. That's what Jesus says. One day you will give an account for every word you speak on this earth. And then he has this drop the mic moment where he finishes with this. Your words will either acquit you or condemn you. Y'all think your words are powerful yet? That as Christ followers, if we claim to follow Jesus, there will come a day where we will have to give accord for every word that we have spoken. And the words in which we use on this earth either acquit or condemn us as followers of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is trying to convey this truth too. Your words are so powerful. They mean so much that every word you speak as a Christ follower into a broken, hurting, and lost world is helping everybody who hears your words make a determination on whether I'm worth following or not. Hello. My words are helping people who have not yet chosen to follow Jesus make a determination on whether Jesus is worth following or not. Our tongue is powerful. It has the power to bring life or death. And then the writer of Hebrews says this, but encourage one another daily, for as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. And this is so good, y'all. You know what this is saying? This is saying that your encouraging words have the potential to keep other people from sin. Come on, y'all. God's word, his instruction manual for all life, again and again and again, points out example after example of how powerful our words are, of how we need to be in control of every word we speak, not just for the sake of our own lives, but for the sake of others around us. Because you know what sin does? Sin deceives, sin lies, sin distracts, sin destroys, sin tears down. Sin is constantly on a mission to tell you about all the things that you don't have or convince you of all the things you'll never have. And if you're anything like me, there are a lot of days where those words begin to win in my life. And there probably isn't a day that goes by in which there are voices in my head telling me that I'm not good enough and I'll never measure up. Voices in my head inflating my failures and minimizing my strengths. That's what I battle almost every single day, especially when I walk up here on this stage. And at some point, I have to be mature enough in my life and my mindset to make this correlation. That if I need encouragement, that I must also be willing to freely give it. That if in my life I'm walking through battles daily, in which I'm battling my insecurities and my inadequacies and my doubts, and my failures are being elevated and my strengths are being pushed down, if I need encouragement, then I need to be mature enough to realize that there are people around me who need it as well. And if I need it, then I should be willing to freely give it. And let me just give you a snapshot into my marriage. Y'all, in that week leading up to IF, what I realized very quickly is this. Is that the temperature of my marriage rises and falls on the back of two phrases. And you're like, oh, I love you. No. The temperature of my marriage rises and falls on difficult moments and difficult seasons of our lives where we're pouring ourselves into this place, we're pouring ourselves into events, we're pouring ourselves into the kingdom, and everything, all of our chips are being pushed into the middle, and we're not sure how it's going to turn out, or we're facing our own hardships. On the front end, and as we're walking through that, the temperature of my marriage rises and falls in the back of this one phrase, I believe in you. that when I become a husband who in my wife's life and in her walk am capable of saying, honey, I know you don't see it in yourself. Honey, I know you're struggling. Honey, I know you're battling insecurities. But right now, you at least need to hear it from me. I believe in you. I see this in you. I know you're going to rock it. I know you're going to change the world. That the temperature of my marriage automatically rises when I become capable of saying those things. But then in the aftermath, this is the second phrase. What I also recognize is that in the aftermath of those seasons, the temperature of my marriage automatically rises when I'm capable of now saying, I'm proud of you. That I took the time to notice the things that you did well or the ways in which you succeeded, and I'm going to call those things out. And y'all, men, if you have a difficult time saying these things verbally, get yourself some cards and write it down. And slide it across the table. And leave it with some flowers at 6:30 in the morning, whatever that looks like. That your marriage will rise and fall, the temperature within it will rise and fall based upon your capabilities to say those phrases as you travel through difficult seasons and in the aftermath of wins and in the aftermath of losses. Now, honey, I can still be proud of you, even when you don't think everything went exactly as it should have. See, because of that, this is what we must begin to practice in our relationships and in our interactions with other people. If we want to be world changers, if you think something good, say it. If you think something good, be willing to say it. And y'all, I know what you're thinking because this is what I'm thinking too. But Ben, that doesn't come naturally to me. That isn't easy for me. And y'all, all I can say is this. I know. Trust me. I know. Because when I look back on my life and my past, within the context of my relationships, my parenting, my marriage, even in the moments of my life where it's like this opportunity for you to tell somebody they did good or I'm proud of you is set up on a tee in your parenting or in your marriage, there is this sin nature inside of me that is like grappling to not let those words come out of my mouth. Not letting me choke those words out. And I get it for you that this may not be easy, it may not come naturally, but what you have to recognize and what I have to recognize is this. Very few great things come naturally. Great relationships don't come naturally. Changing the world doesn't come naturally. Imitating Christ doesn't come naturally. But it is worth it. Every single time. Just because it doesn't come naturally doesn't mean it isn't what we are called to do. And furthermore, let me just say this. For those of us in this room who fall into this category, if you are leading anything in any facet of your life, you are leading your spouse in a marriage, you are leading kids as a parent, you are leading a group of people in a small group, you're leading other coworkers in your workplace on this project, you're leading people as a boss to them, and they are your employees. Encouragement is a responsibility. It is a responsibility we carry in positions of leadership. Ladies, can I just talk to you for a second? Ladies, in your marriage or your relationship with the opposite sex, can I just give you some insight into the moments of that relationship in which you want your husband or your significant other to do something that he isn't presently doing? Do you know the way not to get him to do something that he's not presently doing but you want him to do? The way not to get him to do it is to call him out in front of all your friends. To embarrass him in your small group. Oh, my husband never does that. Oh, my husband always does this. Because guys, humor me for a second. Maybe it's just me. I know I'm broken than the rest of y'all. But isn't there something deep inside of us that when we've been embarrassed and we've been called out, there's this thing inside of us that just naturally wants to rebel more? Like, fine, I don't want to give in to you now. Right? Come on, men. It's okay. We're messed up. if you want the person that you love, the man that you love, to begin to do something or do something more consistently that he's not doing consistently, the way in which you get there is that when he does it, you encourage it. You call it out. You say, I saw this. And if you have to, I wasn't going to say this. If you have to, sometimes you can attach some benefits to it. Y'all know what I mean? Come on, y'all. It's okay. We can have fun. We can talk about that stuff here. In marriage counseling, I always say, men, you need to work on your approach. Ladies, sometimes you just need to have an approach. You see, that's how we, through encouragement, not that in particular, through our words, that's how we become in a marriage and become spouses who are cultivating what we want. Guys, you don't get off the hook. Let me talk to you. You see, if you look at your marriage and you're saying, I want more passion in my marriage, where did that intimacy go in my marriage that we had in year one or in year two? If you want more passion in your marriage, do you know where it starts? In the words you say. Ladies, it starts in the words you say, guys. How you speak to, how you speak about, what you speak into her. And every single couple that I have ever married, in our premarital counseling sessions, we always go through this one activity. It's called My Top Needs. And it gives them a list of all of these emotional needs, and they have to go through, and they have to rate them all, and then when they rate them all, they have to say, here are my top five. And they do this separately, and then they come back together, and they talk about this. And do you know, almost every single time as we move through this process and they come back together and they begin to discuss their differences and how what they need isn't necessarily what their spouse-to-be needs and how they need to operate differently, as we get to this part, in almost every single woman that I've always been a part of going through this premarital counseling session with, in the top five is always intimacy. In the premarital counseling session, the guys are like, intimacy, yeah. No, guys, that's not the intimacy she's thinking. Because what every lady knows is this: intimacy and sex don't correlate. Sex is what comes after intimacy. And intimacy begins by the way in which you speak to me, the conversations we have, the amount of times you say you believe in me, the amount of times you say you're proud of me, the way you speak to me, to your parents, to my in-laws, etc., etc., etc. Those words are what lead to intimacy. And on the flip side, almost every single guy that has gone through this in his top five has respect. And ladies, do you know how we feel respect? Through the words, I believe in you. I trust you. I'm following you. You see, those are things within the context of our relationships that have to be communicated in order for our relationships to be the very best they can. Encouraging others is vital for healthy relationships and for us to be something different in our world. But we have to catch this second part. You see, in our attempt to encourage others, what we have to realize is that we will never be able to fully engage in encouraging others. You'll always struggle to encourage others if you don't first practice encouraging yourself. You see, my ability to encourage others always begins within me. I am the practice field. I am the proving grounds for whether or not I will be capable to speak encouragement and life into others. Because if I struggle to do it for myself, I am almost automatically going to struggle to speak those things into other people. Why? We've heard it. Hurt people hurt people. And if I don't feel good about myself, it's hard for me to feel good about you. A couple thousand years ago, there was a guy that we've talked about throughout this series, King David. King David was one of the most powerful men in all the world at his time. And back then, being the king of his nation, it was expected for him to be on the battlefield leading his army into war. In one of those such moments, David gathers up his army and they storm out to war. And they leave all of their wives and all of their children back behind in this one village. Well, the enemy, the opposition, catches wind of where all of David's men, all their families, all their wives, all their children are living. And they get this bright idea. we're going to go to that village, we're going to pillage that village, we're going to burn it to the ground, and we're going to kidnap every wife and every child within that village. And so they go and they do so. And as the battle concludes, David and his men go back to this village expecting to find as victors their wives and their children. And what do they find? You ever seen the movie The Patriot? Mel Gibson and his band go off fighting against the British, and the British find out where all of their families are living, and they burn the village to the ground. That is the picture of what they find when they come back. And in the midst of all of this, David begins battling not only his own insecurities and his own inadequacies, but criticism and hateful words from the rest of his army. You see, this is where we pick up the story in 1 Samuel chapter 30. In verse 6, it says, David was now in great danger because all of his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters, and they began to talk about stoning him. You see, in an instant, on the back of a negative event, negative circumstances, all of this negativity began to swirl in David's life. All of these insecurities began to rise inside of him. All of this criticism, all of this hateful speech began to be thrown and hurled at him. And in the midst of all of that happening, here is what David chose to do in response of all the negativity around him. It finishes this way. But David found strength in the Lord his God. Now let me give you a quick history lesson here. You see, those two words in that last sentence, David found strength, is actually this Hebrew word, and this passage was originally written in Hebrew, is actually this Hebrew word, shazak. Can you say that with me? Shazak. Y'all know a little bit of Hebrew. And this Hebrew word, shazak, is literally defined in this way. It is defined as, in David's life, telling yourself to be strong. You know what is actually happening here? David was talking to himself, encouraging himself, reminding himself of who he was in God's eyes. It's why you see it written this way in other translations. In the King James Version, verse 6 is written this way. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You see, in this moment, with all the negative all around David, you know what David chose to do? He chose in this moment to remind himself of the faithfulness of God. To remind himself of the provisions of God. He chose to tell himself about the goodness of God. And when everything around David, much like our world today, has the ability to communicate hopeless, he decided to encourage himself. And when he encouraged himself, David got his shazak back. He got this swagger back, this confidence back, when he began to speak into himself encouragement, not just about who he was, but about who God was and about how God had his back no matter what. It's like the song we sang this morning, that I have a God who hasn't failed, that I have a God who walks with me in the highlands and in the heartaches. That's who my God is, and I can find encouragement in that, that I don't have to do that alone. And when he encouraged himself, then he went to God and he said, God, I need some advice from you. In verse 8, then David asked the Lord, should I chase after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover everything that was taken from you. You see, the victory in David's story came after his choice to encourage himself. And if you want to be a great encourager of others, you have to start by first being willing to encourage yourself. Because, y'all, we know this to be true. That in our lives, 10 people can come to us and they can speak positivity over us, and it only takes one person to speak criticism to wipe all of that out. And in order for us to be prepared in a mental, emotional, spiritual state for ourselves and for others to live the best life possible, to have the healthiest relationships, we have to adhere to that principle to know, man, we have to constantly be speaking encouragement into ourselves to prep ourselves for the moment we know is coming around the corner where that one person speaks criticism into us and it wipes out all of that encouragement and we have to start all over again. Because if we become people who just allow criticism after criticism after criticism to stack on top of each other, everything suffers in the aftermath. Every relationship we're in, every purpose, every pursuit of all life suffers if we aren't living in the shadow of encouragement. It's imperative for our lives, for our futures, and the lives and the futures of the people around us. And so the question is this: what are you telling yourself every single day? What are you telling yourself every single day? The way you talk to yourself and the way you talk to others, it matters. And it won't come naturally to you, and it doesn't come naturally to me. But it's necessary if we want to lead well. It's necessary if we want to live well. You want to change somebody else for the better? Change how you talk to them. Because what we know to be true is this: positive words are so hard to remember. Negative words are so hard to forget. So what are you speaking into others? The words that destroy and are so hard to forget, or the countless words in an attempt to build up? See, Jesus said this: they will know you are mine by how you love. Y'all want to know the best indicator of your love? It's the words you speak. And you're saying, no, Ben, actions speak louder than words. If your words aren't in line, your actions won't be either. Your actions always follow your words. That's the way that it works in this life and in our world. It's time to start living by this paradigm that if you think something good, say it. And there are too many of us as Christ followers. Y'all, this is where we finish. There are too many of us as Christ followers who walk around our lives, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, believing this lie that we have no power whatsoever. Y'all, you have power. You have power that's been given to you through a resurrected Savior. And you know where that power begins? On your tongue. In what you say and how you speak. In the life that you speak into others that you rub elbows with every single day. And the words in which you speak to others every single day somehow help them fight the battles you know nothing about. And so what side of the line do you want to fall on? You've been called to be different. You have been called in the midst of the negativity to stay positive. What choice will you make every single day in the words that you speak to yourself and the words that you speak to others? They have the power to change things for forever. Would you pray with me? Father, this morning, God, we stop and we thank you for something we barely acknowledged and hit on this morning. And it's this: that when it comes to this, when it comes to encouragement, you went first. You showed the way in my life, in our lives. Then in the moments where what we deserved, what should have come naturally, is for you to speak criticism and hateful words into us because of our sin, because of our mistakes, because of our flaws. You had that right as a perfect God, and yet you chose the other path. You choose daily to speak life into me. You call me your son. You call us your daughters. You have adopted us into your family, and it brings you great pleasure to do so. You call us your masterpiece. How could broken, messed up me be a masterpiece? But that's what you see, and that's what you speak into me. And God, I thank you for the encouragement that you give every single day into my life. But I believe with all of my heart that encouragement also comes with an expectation when I follow you, that in turn, I choose to turn around and pass that encouragement on to others in a world that desperately needs it, in a household that desperately needs it, in a workplace that desperately needs it. God, on this day, with the opportunities that are coming this week, may we have the courage to think differently and to speak differently, to bring something different to the world around us. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.